Moment before we start with the word. Father, we just love you today and we thank you for just how well you orchestrate things, the confidence that you give us. We thank you for that and we bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, by Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counsel, the one that you've given to come alongside to help, we release our labor into your care, that Holy Spirit would help us communicate it this morning. In Jesus' name, we just thank you and are excited to be in your presence today. Amen and amen. Well, Sharon, if you'd give me my title screen, I think you'll say, wow, that was all through what we were talking about and singing about this morning. Praising in all circumstances, every one of them. Hey, Dave, where's Dave? Wave at me, Dave. When you were walking around that wall this summer, praising in every circumstance is a key to your success. It's not just a methodology. It is a vital key to kingdom success and walking in victory in our lives. Last week, we talked about enjoying life together, and a key that was in that, which is a Siamese twin to praise, was thankfulness. Having a thankful heart in every circumstance, in every situation that you're facing. In it, not necessarily for it, but in it, being thankful. Well, along with that, God gives us the opportunity not only to have a thankful heart, but to express it to God in praise. Now, one of the things that happened, I was born again in 1974. And in 1974, a book was published. It was by a man named Don Gossett. And the book was, There's Dynamite in Praise. It comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is a root for dynamite. But what was being taught in this book was that in praise and worship to God, particularly in circumstances that are maybe we wouldn't think were praiseworthy, there's an explosive, creative power of God that will come to your aid, will come to your presence when you praise Him, particularly when you're not in praiseworthy circumstances. The circumstances come and go, but He is always praiseworthy. Amen? Always. You know, talk to me a little bit here this morning. He's always worthy of our praise. And so here it was, somebody got that book into my hand as a new believer. I don't think it was the first year that I was born again, but it was within 3 years of being born again that somebody gave me a copy of that book and I began to read it and I began to understand that there was something very significant here. Praise is the expression of adoration. We're not only acknowledging God, but we're acknowledging who He is and our need for Him. When we praise, we are calling out the solution to the situation that we're in if we're looking for a solution. I'll give you an example from it, of 150. There it is. This is David. David was a pretty good praiser, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the heavens of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to the abundance of His greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with tambourine and single or group dance. Praise Him with stringed instrument and wind instruments or flutes. Praise Him with resounding cymbals and with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you see, when I look at that, that pretty much covers every day, all day, that we have that opportunity to be in an attitude of praise. So what is praise? Well, let me give you the dictionary. The dictionary says to commend, to applaud, to express approval or admiration of, to extol in words or in song, to magnify, and to glorify. Sometimes we direct it towards God directly, or sometimes it's about a characteristic of God that we praise. So praise is always active. Praise is always assertive. Praise is always demonstrative. And it can begin with your mind set on God. I know there are times where we think our praise unto God, but those thoughts must turn into an outward expression for it to be true praise. Now, I want to tell you something. Becky is my wife, thankfully. She's my wife for 46 years. But I can tell you this, if I look at her and I say, honey, I had really nice thoughts about you today. She wants to know what they are. I can remember when we were younger in our marriage, and you can remember this too. You remember I'd say, honey, I love you. And she would look back at me and go, why? Tell me why. She didn't just want a generic serving, sort of a placebo pill of, I love you. She wanted to know, give me words. Tell me why you love me. Praise is like that. Praise is telling God why we love Him. Praise is telling our spouse why they're so significant to us in our lives. But God says, bring it to me with praise. Praise must be vocal, it must be audible, and it must be visible. I want to show you something, and I'm thinking, Keith, of you right now. Because while you guys were rehearsing this morning, I was putting this last minute slide together. Right there. 7 words in Hebrew that are translated simply in English, praise. And I just want to visit it because the definitions of each one are very significant, and they are legitimate expressions for any believer to express in life. Hallel. It's the root word of hallelujah, which is Hallel Yahweh. Hallelujah, or Hallel Yahweh, which is a primary name of God. It means to celebrate, praise, rave, boast, to be clear about. So to hallel God is to, even another term was to be clamorously foolish in our expression of love to Him. Yada, to lift our hands. It's a simple act of lifting your hands to God. It's an acknowledgement of Him. To yada Him is to acknowledge Him by the lifting of your hands. Tauda. You know, I was watching today because I knew I put this together. And I can tell you, six of the 7 took place this morning in our congregation. Tauda is the rhythmic extension of the hand. It's a form of rhythmic movement with your hands to God. Some people do it just with the hands. Others do it with a flag, with a banner, and they move it. Shabbat, to shout unto God with a voice of triumph, to address Him loudly, to say, yay, God. That takes place at various points during worship. Barak means to kneel down in adoration. We had people that knelt down in adoration and praise and surrender to God. Zamar, to pluck the stringed instrument and sing. And Tehillah. Now, Tehillah is an unrehearsed, sometimes previously unknown song that just flows out of your spirit to God in a melodious way. It can happen, I don't even know what the technical term is in between, you know, when you guys are doing the thing with the keyboard, you know, and we're not singing, but people sing. And sometimes they're just singing praise to God. Look at all the expressiveness. Look at all the... Do you ever wonder why God chose Israel? You know why? Because instead of having one word for praise, Israel understood the plurality of expression of praise. Go to a Jewish wedding. Go to any gathering of joyous people in the midst of their time with God, and you'll see all of that playing out. It might be singing, declaring, dancing, walking around in obedience. You even talked about that obedient walk around the wall this morning, keeping our complaints to ourselves, proclaiming Scripture, clapping. We got clapping this morning, waving and kneeling. Now, the focus of praise, we want to take a look, is always on who God is and what He has done. If we're praising, it's not about telling Him about our condition. It's not about telling Him about our need. It's about declaring Him for who He is. In the midst of that praise, we are really declaring the solution oftentimes to the unspoken needs in our lives. We're declaring Him as our provider, Jehovah Jireh. And we're in a time where the month is a little bit longer than the money. And yet we declare Him, Lord, I trust You in that because I've given You my tithe and my offering, and You said You are my provider, and You've never left me down yet. Amen? Never left me down yet. It is praising Him for His wondrous acts, for His character. When God does something on our behalf, we praise Him. And when we have no particular act, we still ought to be praising Him. We can always praise Him for creation, praise Him for the beauty of the world around us. Let's look at a couple scriptures on praise. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. Now see, there you go. There's how we're to praise Him. Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. Oh, I want to add one other thing. Ordinarily, on a Sunday morning, this is part of the orchestration of God. Ordinarily, on a Sunday morning, one or more of the elders will get with me ahead of the service, and we'll go someplace, and they'll pray for me. This morning, just because of the way things unfolded, that did not happen. And so while I'm worshiping, someone comes up to me and says, Pastor Dave, God told me on the way to church that I was to pray for you this morning. And I'm over here trying to worship. I can't worship because God told me I'm supposed to pray for you this morning. And so Keith got y'all? Wave at the crowd, Keith. Keith is our hairy, no, he's one of two hairy guys, okay, in our congregation here. And as a result of it, he came over in obedience, took me out in the hallway and prayed for me. You see, God, who knows before, he's the providence of God, the pro video, He sees before we see it, knew that somehow it wasn't going to happen. So He gave someone an assignment to make sure that it did. The question is, how many assignments have I missed throughout my life that maybe God put on my heart and I thought, oh, that's, you know, who am I? All right? God gives us assignments every day to be able to cooperate with Him. He wants our whole heart in doing that. I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. Now, here's the why. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. Gave us victory over death, didn't He, Brent? Yeah, I mean, we have the greatest news in the face of the earth, and we ought to be sharing it. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. Oh, how we know that, don't we, honey? He fills our lives with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm so thankful for the promises of God. Now, when do we praise God? Well, I'll praise the Lord whenever I feel like it. I will praise the Lord whenever He does something good for me first. I will praise the Lord, I don't feel like it today, at all times. You know, we have some people in our congregation right now going through sad times. I know a family that lost a patriarch in the family, and there's sickness and some unpleasant things going on. It's part of living in a fallen and a cursed world. I mean, if we had just kept it like it was in the garden, everybody would still be here. Do you know that? Everybody. Talk about population. Everybody would still be here. That was God's original intent. But the fact that we live in a fallen world, the fact that we do things that expose us to various types of poisons that sometimes we're completely unaware of. You know, just about a week ago, my one grandson was coming down into the basement looking for me. And so when he found me, I came with him. I'm coming up the basement steps. And he says, Pop, what is that smell? And I smelled, and I did. I smelled something. At first, I thought it was that special smell of a dead mouse. Okay? Anybody ever have that? A three-day-old dead mouse that you've yet to discover because that little bugger crawled in the wall and died. And I thought, no. And then I laid down on the steps because I'm a bit, you know, wasn't always a pastor. I'm a bit of an engineer. And I laid down on the steps. And when I laid down on the steps, I could smell it more than I could. And it was coming down the steps. I went up and I went into the kitchen. I went to the stove. We have gas. Somehow, some way, somebody bumped one of the little, not far enough to ignite it, but far enough for the gas to be flowing. Stuff happens. We live in a world where things can happen that we don't even know about. And so as a result of it, we need to be in an attitude of praise all the time. I want to tell you, I was very thankful that we were able to pick up on that. And so we praise Him at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness and let us exalt His name together. The hopeful and the helpless all need to be praising the Lord equally. Now, David in this passage switches from just I will to we will, or let us. He's the psalmist. Now, a person who's in the place of a psalmist, they are responsible to take you where they're going. They're sort of like a shepherd with a flock. Maybe a small flock, a small group. I think of a small group leader. I think of a worship leader. And their job is to take the people that they're leading where they're going. So you want to make sure you're taking them to praiseworthy talk about God. That's what testimonies are about. That's why people tell of the good things of the Lord, because they're inviting the helpless and the afflicted to join in the worship of God. Let us tell of the Lord's grace, greatness, and not focus on the condition we're in, but focus on He who is our solution to that condition. Amen? Now, praise wasn't meant to be only uttered at the breakthrough, but before we see it. Look what it says in James. Now, I put our tongue in there because James was now in this passage talking about the tongue and how waffly it can be, okay? Sometimes it, our tongue, praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in God's image. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. The only cure for it is listening to what you're saying before you say it. You know, we always have that moment of pause. We can choose to praise. But the opposite of praise is complaining and grumbling. Psalms 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now, when that was written, the day was sunrise to sunset. And then just a little bit of television, and then they went to bed. No, they didn't have televisions in the day that was written. So sunrise to sunset, and then they went to bed. They generally would get a full night's sleep because they were going to be in the fields and toiling with their hands. It's not just everywhere from east to west, but every time of the day as the sun is moving. Did you ever think what would happen if the sun stopped moving? It would be bad on both sides of the earth. On one side, it would be overheating. On the other side, it would be definitely chilling. And so there's power in praise. Praise has the power to change my perspective in a given situation. Now, I know we always have those times in life where we have, one of those, a poopy attitude, okay? Life will hand it to you in a little bag if necessary. But we can do something about it. I want to give you an opportunity to know a story from the Old Testament about a king named Jehoshaphat and the people of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you can read about it. They were facing a huge army, overwhelming in nature. And Jehoshaphat, as king, called an assembly together so that they could worship and seek the Lord to find out what their strategy was to be. Now, I want to read you just a couple scriptures from that. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." It was a Dorian chant. It was, "The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever and ever." Second verse, same as the first. And they just would go out singing. Do you know where the swords were? Do you know where the spear points were? They were behind the minstrels. Glad I'm not a minstrel, you would think. Except for, as we read on, and as they began to sing in praise, the Lord. You see, the battle, folks, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. But the praise is yours. The going ahead in praise for the solution you're looking for, that's your responsibility. When your marriage is not going right, instead of complaining about your spouse, why don't you praise God for the fact that it's going to turn around? Whenever you're having a financial setback, instead of complaining about the fact that you were maybe wrongfully let go or it wasn't fair or whatever might be, instead of doing that, say, "Jehovah Jireh is my provider. It's not that job. That job was just the temporary this season way in which God was providing for me." If you don't get that right, when you lose your job, you may lose your way. But if you have God as your supplier, you'll never lose not only your way, but the way. God will always be there providing for you in the midst of it. I know some people, my eyes just met one of them, and their testimony was in a difficult place, hemmed in, unappreciated, just doing their daily work, being assaulted verbally, oftentimes being told that what they were doing was not good enough, and they were just seemingly being passed over. It was a difficult, difficult time in life. Many of us have felt the same thing. But as he held fast to his faith and trusted in God, not immediately, but sometime down the road, an opportunity opened up that pretty much reversed the whole thing. Had to change jobs, had to relocate to another location to work, but the whole environment of where he was has changed. Praise him for what he's going to do, not just what he has done, although we never forget that either. And so here we are, they're in the battle. They started with praise, and they ended with praise. Let's read on a little bit. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. And they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. But I don't want you, I mean, that's the easy part. The battle is over. The victory's been won. Hallelujah. I've been delivered. The hard part was marching out on the battlefield, singing, "The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever." But I believe the march is what got them to the temple. Amen? We got to do a march sometimes on Sunday mornings when we're coming to church and we don't feel like it, but we're going out and saying, "Lord, I'm going into the house of God because the Word of God says that it's good and it's good for me, and I'm going there out of obedience. I'm doing my march, Lord. I'm praising You for what You're going to say to me this morning, Lord. I'm praising You for the songs that are going to be selected that I can sing back to You this morning, Lord. I'm praising You for the multiplicity of voices that are going to together speak into my life this morning. I'm thankful for that." Do you know? That's the way I come to church. Apostle Paul said one time when he was entering into a town, it's written in one of the epistles, where he said, "I come not only unto you to impart, but to receive." If you're a one-way Christian, and either way is wrong, if you're just on the receiving end Christian, or you're just on the imparting end Christian, you need to be on both, okay? Some of the most generous people that I've ever met are the most horrible people to try to do something for. Did you ever run into that? Because you can't do anything for them. They're the doer. They're the giver. And so God wants us to learn that the seasons of life change. There are times that we're praising on the front line, and there are times we're praising after the deliverance has taken place. So there is great power in praise. And praise, in this case, in Jehoshaphat, was in their story in 2 Chronicles, was the key to the victory. How many of you know that David was commissioned one time to play a stringed instrument because the king was beleaguered by demonic forces? And by plucking the string, by doing Zamar, the demons were routed and peace came to the king. David was praising God with his instrument. And as a result of that, deliverance came. Paul and Silas one time were going on their way, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they were going, there was this little slave girl that kept following them along, declaring true things, that these are great men of God who have the truth of salvation. And they let him do it for a while because it's good advertising. But eventually they realized that she was motivated by a demonic spirit, and the right thing to do, no matter whether that spirit is declaring truth or error, is to deliver the person from the spirit, from the demonic spirit. So that's what they did. Well, the guy that owned her made money off of her, and he got very mad, so he filed a case, and they got thrown into jail. Paul and Silas got thrown into jail for delivering someone from demonic control. Well, God, if that's what ministry's going to be like, I think I'm out of here. You mean I deliver somebody? No, you didn't deliver anybody. You just made yourself available to the power of God. But, so there they are in jail. Look what it says. Wrongfully in jail. Unfairly in jail. And jail didn't have any TVs and exercise rooms in those days. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What? And the other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. What prison are you in right now that needs to be shaken? What gates are closed in front of you that need to rattle open? Maybe you're talking about the gates too much and not about God. Maybe you ought to praise Him for what's ahead, because eventually what's ahead will be now. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came off. Did you hear that? Just the bystanders, people that just happened to be around it. It's electric. It'll set people free accidentally. Just because they're in the neighborhood. Paul one day was walking through the streets. It's either Paul or Peter. They're both in the P category. Walking through the streets, and their shadow passed over people, and they were healed. Whew. I'd want to be in that shadow. But I sometimes wonder whose shadow it was. Was it Paul's, or was it Holy Spirit's shadow? Who's in Paul? Because the healing came. The healing delivered. The healing set them free. The power to change your perspective comes. Very briefly, I want to tell you the story about the importance of praise, because it can't always be based on how we feel in the moment. This is kingdom weaponry. You need to have this in your scabbard. Job is a story about a man who was innocent. Job is a story about a man who was blameless. Job is a story of about a man who God granted permission, limited permission to the accuser of Job and the accuser of God, who's the same person, which is the devil, okay? The devil said, well, of course he loves you. Of course he praises you. You've blessed everything that he does. If you just took your hand off of him, then he'd curse you to your face. Now, you need to hear, first of all, that God says, that isn't what I do. He's not the one that takes the hand of blessing away. He's not the one that brings curse into someone's life. He said, really, you're the one that does that. He says, I'm going to grant you limited permission, but you can't kill him. And so he went through all of the things that he went through. Let's just realize he lost his financial stability, his cattle, his sheep. He lost all of his children in a great wind that crushed the house. His life was spared, but he still had his wife, and he still had a few servants, and he had his health. And Job said, then Job arose and rent or tore his robe and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked, without possessions, I came into this world from my mother's womb, and naked, without possessions, I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, praised, and magnified and worshiped be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, the reason I marked that in yellow is in Hebrew theology and understanding of God. The sovereignty of God to a Hebrew man means that God ultimately is in charge of everything because he's sovereign. But being sovereign does not mean that he is the ministering agent of things that happen. Sometimes the devil does things. He kills, steals, and destroys. But in Job's mind, he would even see past the devil to the sovereignty of God. And he would say, if this is going on in my life, then the God who is sovereign had to somehow, some way, permit it. And that's exactly what happened in Job's case. It was permitted. But what we find out is Job chose to praise the Lord when he could have more easily chose to curse God. His wife even gave him good counsel and said, you know, with all that's happened to you, there you are sitting on the curb scraping off boils off of your skin. Why don't you just curse God and die? And Job chose not to do that. Job chose not to let that happen. And what we find out is the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before, and the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life even more so than the first. Job lived a long life and a full life. Scripture says 70, that's 70. And I've talked to Becky about this, and I talk to God about it a lot. My kids didn't start having their babies until later in life. And so, if I want to see my grandsons, the three of them married, if I go to the youngest one, he's 6 now, and they don't seem to marry as early as they used to. I mean, Becky and I, we got married. She was 19 and I was 21. And just not too long, 21. Then I got to at least get not just 14 years more, okay? I got to get more than that out of my life. And so I'm before the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the long life that you're going to give me. Yeah, I'm going to watch when I cross into the street in front of buses. I'm going to be as careful as I can. I'm going to do all of the things that I can do to promote good health in my body. But Lord, you're going to have to be the one. You know the number of days, and you knew before I was even born. So you not only knew my days, but you also knew my grandson's days. You see? You know, the Bible says it's okay to reason with God. Now, it's another thing to debate with God, okay? But Lord, you're the author of math, so you can do the math. I'm just giving you the equation. Work it out, Lord. That's what my heart is desiring, as I want to be like Job, live a long and full life. But the realities of living in this world have a Habakkuk times that come to us. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. We all have them times, but what could you put in that scripture if your name was Habakkuk? Even though the large financial needs and the bills aren't getting paid, even though my house has been on the market for 6 months and I don't see a breakthrough on the horizon, even though I'm waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise in my life and my son still hasn't given his life over to Jesus, yet I will praise the Lord. That's praise. That's what God really, I believe, fuels that fire of passion that he has for us. Praise is not an escape. It's a place of getting a better perspective. It's getting your eyes off the promise or the problems and getting your eyes onto Jesus. Now, the scripture that I think started out with said, every breath, every breath. Matt Redman wrote a song one time, number of years ago, it says, it was entitled, Let Everything That Hath Breath. And it goes like this. Praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening, praise you when I'm young and when I'm old. Praise you when I'm laughing, praise you when I'm grieving. praise you every season of my soul. If we could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise. Let every breath praise the Lord. That's what he's calling us to do. I want to be a man of continual praises to God. Every one of us has unseen things because of the curse in this world going on in our lives. It's statistically proven that not only the people that have a diagnosis of some sort of a condition like cancer, but every human being, if they're truly examined, they have rogue cells that are moving around in their body looking for a place to take a grip. And so it comes because we're in that fallen world. It's part of that and part of the curse. The question is for all of us, can I praise him as much on the day of discovery as I can on the day of delivery? That's the key. Because I believe the day of discovery is a key to our praise before God. Now I'm saying that in a heart of no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But why I'm saying it is if you haven't figured that out yet, whether or not you could praise him on the day of discovery as much as you would on the day of delivery, the only thing that I would say is go deeper. Go deeper into your praise. Go deeper into your declarations. Did you have something? Come on up, honey. Becky does like a silent auction. Whenever she's got something percolating, she just sort of goes. Hallelujah.
I couldn't help it while he's delivering the sermon. Think about the scripture that says that when are we to praise God? At all times. So I thought to myself, well, if we're praising God at all times, could that possibly cause us to avoid some of the pitfalls we have at times and some of the struggles that we go through? But not only, we're all going to have trials and tribulations. The Bible tells us that. But could they be shortened because we are in the habit of praising God at all times?
Yes.
Just a thought.
Hey, now that you're here and you got a microphone, why don't you bless the people?
Father, bless the people. Because they are good people, and we worship you for all that you do in their lives. Father, we ask that this message be resonant in their minds and that they continually give thought to praising you. The thoughts that they may have on a normal basis, Father, we ask that you remind them to replace those thoughts in praise and thanksgiving to you. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather together today in this country, a country of freedom. We pray it always be that way. So bless them as they go out, and bless them as they share you to those that are in the world and in their sphere of influence this week. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you.